Hello, today. Oh, Jesus.
Is that your sexy voice, Jay? Is that sexy, Jay?
Not on purpose. Oh, Lord. Good morning, good evening, or good afternoon. I don't know what time it is for you, but today is February 21st. Today is February 24th. This is Jay Leask, and you're listening to The Speed of Technology.
Hey, this is Craig Jenke, and I'm on the spot with Jay. Here today on a beautiful Saturday morning to talk about our favorite subject, technology. Jay, what do you think we're going to talk about in the area of technology today?
Well, pulling through my magical bag of hat and topic, my magical bag of topics, magical bag of hats, that would be awesome. I think the thing we have the most notes and capable show on is considerations for security and compliance in, you'll never guess it, on-premises infrastructure. I'm kidding. Security and compliance in the cloud, Craig.
Yeah, so it seems like everybody I talk to wants to go to the cloud, get to the cloud, be in the cloud, or want to know something about getting there. So just out of curiosity, Jay, what do you think would be, how many people are in the cloud?
Well, it depends on what you're asking there. I think if you were to ask how many people...
How many companies have made the move to the cloud?
Yeah, well, again, if you're asking how many IT organizations have moved their company to the cloud, I think you probably have a much lower number. But I think, realistically, any IT manager who is sitting there thinking about what his employees do from a day-to-day, I think you're damn near 100%. From moving to Office 365 for email or Amazon Web Services for distributed content to Joe down the hall using Dropbox to share files with people across the company, I think you're almost at 100% these days.
Yeah, I think when people – good answer. I was just testing your knowledge there. I think when people stop and think about what it means to be in the cloud, you know, a lot of people I hear are worried about going to the cloud. And they have concerns about it not being safe, but I don't necessarily think they realize all the effort that some of the industries put into, or some of the big players like Amazon and Microsoft put into being safe and secure in the cloud.
So, Craig, let's play Captain Obvious for a little while.
Okay.
Level setting this conversation. Why are people moving to the cloud?
Because it is, in theory, it is cheaper. We can put our infrastructure up in the cloud. I don't have to maintain it. I don't have to pay for it to warehouse it. I don't have to pay to upgrade it. And let's face it, as you know, the speed of technology increases, you know, companies like Amazon and Microsoft, they're just rolling out some pretty cool services and upgrades to their infrastructure well beyond the means of a regular company to keep up. That would be partially
my
answer.
I still remember, you know, going to Micro Center or Best Buy or whatever to buy Office, the latest version of Office, going in and getting a box that was far too big so it would take up shelf space to get a CD out of it to install Office whatever or Windows whatever on my computer when I was buying the legit version. And instead, nowadays, you've got Office 365. You're a member. You get updates constantly. Like, you just get a message on your computer that reminds you to, restart your Office so you have the latest features.
Yeah, it's that. And, you know, especially with cloud and Azure services and Amazon Web Services, you're getting more and more new features and new technologies. Even when you get talking about, like, BI and AI and big data and stuff like that, that stuff's rolling increasingly, you know, every day. So you would have to go out and buy that stuff every day, and then you would have to buy the hardware to hold that on and upgrade your systems all the time. But I have a question, Jay. What do you tell companies when they say, is it secure?
So I was at a forum last month with a series of quote-unquote experts, and I quote-unquote experts not because they were questionable, but because the term expert makes me laugh. It's not a real term. It's subjective. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, because you have to be a guru or a ninja, right?
I'm going to start. My new title is Solutions Guru. Anyway, what I responded, because someone actually asked me that question specifically, and the response is very straightforward. Tell me what your budget is to secure your infrastructure, because I guarantee a company like Microsoft or Amazon or Google are spending more on securing the infrastructure from hackers than everyone in your industry has for gross revenue. It's you can't compete with the amount of money that a company like Microsoft is spending to make sure that someone can't break into their network. Now, it doesn't mean they're 100% good, 100% set. But if you think about what that means, if they're only 98 to 99% set, where are you? Just because you have a smaller target doesn't mean that you have a more secure infrastructure.
Yeah, I agree. And I always tell people, think about it. Microsoft hires, and Amazon, they hire the best of the best, right? They get the brightest guys come out of MIT and Stanford, and they're working 24/7 to make sure that their system is secure because, you know, they can't have a hack and they can't, it can't be publicized. They lose billions of dollars in stock revenue and stock prices if that happens. So, I mean, and look at your company. What do you probably have? 3 or 4 people who are pretty good, maybe one superstar, and they can't work 24/7 if you don't have the budget to pay them to be 24/7.
That's right. Even if you go multinational and you're a big organization with billions in revenue, you've got data centers all over the world. And each of those data centers need to have you know, specialists in security, in network traffic, in hardware, in operating systems, in the code that you're using. So it keeps growing. And while moving to the cloud, I will always say moving to the cloud isn't necessarily a cost savings. It is in the comparison to how much you're getting out of moving to the cloud. For you as an organization to write the code similar to Microsoft's cognitive services, you're going to go out of business. But when you move to the cloud, you get a technology you probably wouldn't have had access to otherwise.
Right. So, yeah, they got a lot of cool stuff that you can work on. But it was interesting that you said something that it might not be a cost saving. Well, of course it's a cost saving, Jay. I just put all my data up in the cloud, and I don't have to worry about the security or anything, right? It's just all me. Once it's there, Microsoft takes care of it. That's what a lot of people think, and I think that's scary.
It is really scary. It's the starting point. You're right. You put your data in the cloud. Microsoft is going to guarantee uptime. They're going to tell you the network is secure. They're going to patch their systems so that the latest security patches are available to you. But frankly, the majority of data spills these days aren't a hacker getting into a network, which is what Microsoft is concerned with. It's an employee downloading a spreadsheet to a thumb drive and dropping it off at, leaving it at Starbucks, where it's picked up by a no-gooder, and it's put on the internet for everyone to see. So now everyone's got not just your employee pay rates, they've got their social security numbers, they might have stored credit card numbers, and all of this data, this is where the majority of hacks come from these days, is that kind of information being left for others to see. I talked about the physical security, but think about the number of AWS servers that haven't been patched by consultants, and oh, there's all that test data, I use air quotes, sitting waiting for someone to find.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a problem. The problem I've seen is employees fall victim to phishing scams, right? We don't know how it happens.
Yes.
Still, but the phishing people, the fishermen, I guess, or the security guys.
The fishermen.
I don't know what you call that. The bad guys who put out those emails are getting more and more sophisticated. So, I have seen that they're trying to hack healthcare providers because they get that information. Like, well, when's the last time you went to the doctor? Oh, you know, you came in for a knee to have your knee looked at, right? So then a week later, they send an email saying, hey, you know what? We don't have your social security number. You came in. We can't file your claim. Can you give us that? And people will give it to them. Or they'll click on links that will be malicious. And the scary thing is, I believe about a third of people who fall for it once will fall for it again. So it's proper training and that kind of stuff. But it's amazing how many organizations, and I saw a stat on this that said 20% of organizations don't feel they have any responsibility once they move to the cloud. It's all on the cloud service provider.
This is that literally is one of my favorite stories to tell when I'm talking to customers. When I'm talking about data governance. One of the things, so there was a hack for the, hopefully I haven't said this story on the podcast. I probably have. I apologize for boring you more than once. So there was a hack in the US government in the last five to eight years now. I lose track of time. And a spreadsheet with social security numbers was taken from a major government agency. And when they found the hacker, they were able to trace it back to a specific hacker. They started talking to him about, you know, what it was. It was a teenager. First and foremost, it was a teenager.
They're clever.
They are clever. So they're talking to this teenager about, why did you do it? How did you do it? What did you do? He said, okay, so it was easy. I went on this website that belongs to the agency. I found their contact page, and that contact page had a bunch of phone numbers on it for people in the agency to call if you have problems with something. So I started going down the list, and I would call and I'd say, hi, this is Joe from IT. We're doing a reset to the Exchange server and I need your password. Most of the people, the first 9 or 10 people, they hung up on me. They said this sounded weird and they hung up. But I hit someone around 10 or 11 who answered the phone, who was excited because they've been having problems with their computer. And they asked, oh, is this going to solve the problem I'm having with Outlook? And
yes, the answer is always yes.
So the answer is always yes. It will solve your problem. They gave him his password. He went to the email web page that you can utilize to get to their email from out of the office. And this kind of shows you right. What we're talking about, right? How many people go to something like Outlook Web Access anymore on a daily basis to access their email? No, you've got a computer with Outlook. You take it home, you still access it through Outlook. But, you know, 5-8 years ago, that was the common thing to do, was you would go to the same website like owa.mycompany.com or something like that. Not even obscured. So he went to the website. He put in their commonly defined email address, firstname.lastname@agency.gov. And then he put in the new password he had, and boom, he has access to their email. Well, continuing down the story of social engineering, he did a quick search for SSN. And he found that this person had recently emailed a spreadsheet of employee data with social security numbers to HR. Like, this is the simplest story of why you need to govern your data. This isn't even what most people would consider the cloud. This is simply putting stuff in your infrastructure, and this is an employee using bad practices, sending an unencrypted spreadsheet of social security numbers.
Yeah, and the bad thing is, once he was in there, I mean, you know, he could have randomly been emailing people in the organization through that person's and gotten even more information if he really would have wanted to. It doesn't take that much effort, and you know, it's going to be a while before anybody would question why he would need that. And I think the bigger takeaway from this story is that's why you have two-factor authentication turned on, so that if somebody's logging in from a different place, then, you know, there should be more than one check by password to see, you know, if that person should be actually accessing your network.
So you've got two things there. One, you're absolutely right. As a technical solution, more and more companies are finally starting to institute two-factor authentication. If you're listening to this podcast and you have Gmail or Outlook Mail or iMail, and you're not using two-factor authentication, go set it up. It's easy. It'll send you a text to your phone whenever you log in from a new device. It's silly not to be using it these days. But with that said, the other thing we're talking about there is the importance of governing your data, securing your data, making sure your company has policies to keep that data secure, and then using tools to automate that. So you need tools that scan your email to make sure you're not sending social security number. You need tools that that enable you to, when you do send a social security number, fix that problem instead of making it harder for your employees. Because that's the other problem is, okay, companies who get that they have to be concerned about their data, they put in rules to secure their data, but then don't give their employees a solution that makes it easy to handle the data in a secure fashion.
Yeah, so definitely giving your employees tools to make the to make their job easier to do the right thing. So, you know, for your company, what does that mean as far as the cloud? And are they going all in yet? We're talking hybrid. Some companies are getting there, but we want to make sure that they have access to their data and they're doing their data secure both on premises and in the cloud too, because we can't forget about on premises, because on premises is still a big part of the organization. And, like, you know, we work at AdPoint and we have tools like Compliance Guardian that will scan your data and look for PPI or PII, I'm sorry, personal information, to make sure people aren't sharing or putting data at risk. And, you know, Microsoft and other places have tools too, once you get in the cloud, for kind of alerting you to data that is bad and shouldn't be there, and can take some kind of reporting or action on it to make sure that your employees are doing or using data appropriately in the most appropriate places. And I believe there's regulations. Well, I know there's regulations that are getting even more and more strict on that companies have to comply to, or they will get hit with some pretty heavy fines.
There's a survey that we'll link to in our show notes. And one of the things that was said in that survey is that 39% of organizations that have moved to the cloud have said that their infrastructure was more complex since moving to the cloud. Some of that is because they're now working in a hybrid infrastructure. Because, for example, SharePoint, a lot of companies who really take advantage of SharePoint have something custom in there, and you can't push that custom code into Office 365 or SharePoint Online. So now you've got that hybrid infrastructure. But you might also have a more complex infrastructure because Office 365 or Amazon Web Services gives you a certain amount of security, but tools like that are only built for the 80 to 90%. Microsoft and Amazon aren't making money by meeting every requirement of every agency. So now you're using third-party tools like Compliance Guardian and Governance Automation from AvePoint to meet the requirements that you as an organization have that are beyond the capabilities of the cloud platform that you've selected. And then you're looking at things like the regulations. You mentioned GDPR is a great example of in the next few months, companies around the globe are going to have to meet this regulation. You're now looking at global regulations. If you're an American company doing business in America, it doesn't matter. You probably have a European's information in your network, which means you have to worry about GDPR. The perfect example is an electric company in the DC area has European data in their network because European citizens live in this area and pay their bill to that electric company.
Yeah, healthcare providers also fall into that, you know.
Yes. Although healthcare is an industry that's used to regulation at least, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah, but they're not always thinking that they're, you know, that their patients or their doctors are European, for that matter, are European citizens. So I've had a couple discussions where some of them weren't quite sure that counted, but they do.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. So, Craig, let me ask you. I think this was a good introduction to looking at the cloud and having security and compliance in the cloud. We didn't get into anything in depth, and I think we should do that in future episodes. But let's close this out, Craig. What are five things you as an organization, you as an IT manager, can do to make sure you're actually ready for the cloud?
Five things that I typically look at, and, you know, are... First thing I would say, if you're thinking about moving to the cloud, take the time and do what we call a readiness assessment, right? Look at why you're moving to the cloud, what are your priorities, how are you going to get there, and how are you going to manage it? And if you don't really have a plan for it, make one. So that's the first step. Make sure that you're ready, know what data you have, what data you want to move, and what's the priority, and set reasonable time frames. The second thing is pick a vendor or multiple vendors to go to, and then read their SLAs. Do you know what you need to get there? What are they going to do? What are you going to be responsible for? And if there is some kind of issue, what is their time frame for getting back to you on solving any issues? Training is obviously another important thing. Cloud is different from on-premises. A lot of people worry about IT people losing their job, right? Because, now everything's going to the cloud. No, you just got a whole different set of job requirements and things that you have to look at. And I think, as you mentioned too before, it can be more complex. So it's retraining on what you're doing. It's retraining your users on how to use things. It's even retraining on your communications team to make sure that they're able to roll out to your users on what they're going to do and what kind of new features as those come out. Tools we've talked about would be number four on my list. Make sure that you're doing everything you can to make your IT job easier. As things get more and more complex, you want to have easier ways to manage them. I mean, SharePoint itself, coming from experience, like on-premises, you used to use a lot of PowerShell scripts. When you get to the cloud, that becomes more and more difficult. And then if you're talking about Amazon Web Services, because you might be using them as a hoster for some of your services in Microsoft, you want tools that are going to just make your job easier. And alongside the tools, I would say, think about reporting. make sure that you have a way of getting the reports that you need to monitor and examine your data, monitor who's using it, what are they using it for, and start making plans off that. And that way you can see where you're having expenditures that you weren't expecting, because cloud, you know, everything you do in the cloud costs you money. So you want to make sure that you're not doing things that you don't need to do, and you want to make sure that people are accessing things that they should be and aren't accessing things that they shouldn't, right? So there's a whole lot of reporting around that, and sometimes out of the box from your service providers, the reporting's not always the best. So, you know, just look for ways to make your reporting better.
So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to keep digging into this conversation. We're going to go into regulations. We're going to go into some of these five things that you've talked about, tools, reporting. I could talk on and on about the importance of reporting and auditing and being able to show the work that you're doing. I've got a really good use case of a government agency that saved millions of dollars in fines by showing, hey, no, we've installed this tool to help make sure we don't do that ever again.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The big thing about compliance is not only doing it, being able to prove that you do it.
Yep. So this was really good. We'll have some good links in the show notes about cloud and big data, about workloads at risk from security, why moving to the cloud helps boost security. So there's some really good stuff that we've been looking at. And hopefully you enjoyed this conversation.
I found it very interesting, Jay. If nothing else, I liked it.
Craig, I don't care if you enjoyed the conversation. I care if our three listeners enjoyed it.
We may have been before now.
But and hopefully we've gotten through the holiday season, the job transition, the coming life transitions might get in the way. I apologize in advance if the baby comes and we miss a couple weeks. But long story short, I'm excited to get the Speed of Technology podcast again.
If the baby comes, we expect to be live podcasting.
You want me to Facebook Live that event, huh?
Yeah, while you're in the room.
I'm gonna guess my wife will kill you for even suggesting it. But today is February 24th, and it's a good day to start the podcast again.
Yes, and that's the way it is.
That's the end, isn't it?
Yeah, that was the end. That was all for not great.
This episode brought to you by Jay Leith and Craig Denke, two guys who like to talk technology and live in a connected world. The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers only, and in no way do they represent the opinions of their employers, their customers, or their wives. This has been an On the Spot podcast production.